The Buffalo News Ice Time podcast is brought to you by Express Windows. Windows starting at $359 installed. Visit expresswindowsinc.com.
Welcome. I'm Lance Lysowski, the Sabres beat writer for the Buffalo News, joined as always by Mike Harrington. Welcome to Ice Time, the Buffalo News' hockey podcast. Coming down to the home stretch here. Only a couple more weeks left in the season. We're recording this before Sabres versus Penguins on Thursday. 12 games remaining, including that one. And Mike, Lindy Ruff reached a milestone on Tuesday. He got win number 600 with the Sabres. Only the second NHL coach ever to win 600 games with one franchise, joining Al Arbor of course, the juggernaut New York Islanders. And Lindy's closing in on 900 wins, seven away. That is yet another milestone. But the most interesting layer to all of this, Mike, were his comments post-game. And should be to no one's surprise that Lindy Ruff very much still has that fire within him to get this right in Buffalo and be the guy who helps get this franchise back on track.
Yeah, I think he still really feels the pain of that losing streak. He couldn't stop it. He said in Toronto after the 10th game, it was the toughest stop of his career, the toughest solve. He never figured it out. His GM needed to make some moves to help him out during that streak. But I think that two-year contract, he's definitely coming back for that second year. He feels very responsible for this situation that they're in. They've been better around that streak. And the other interesting part, Lance, was nobody knew it was his 600th win with the Sabres. Sabres didn't put that in their game notes. To be honest with you, I've been following for the 900 overall. He'd only be the fourth coach in league history. I never even noticed. I never looked.
Yeah, it was one we caught it pregame. I was talking to John Waro from the AP.
Full disclosure. Yeah, I never looked at it. I never noticed that he was that close to 600 on one team. You know, and apparently they didn't want to jinx Lindy because Lindy didn't know. It wasn't in the game notes they give out to the media, which would be standard operating procedure.
They were ready for the end. Yeah,
can he get to 900? I don't know. 36 wins. He's still got to win more than half the games left to get there this year.
Yeah, no, it was interesting to hear his comments. He is right. You take away that 13-game winless streak, and their points percentage would be right around a wild card spot. And if they got half of the points, you know, 13 out of those 26 rather than only three, you're right in the mix. And you know, you can tell that he feels there's an obligation there. Definitely he's out to prove that he can be the person who gets this team back into the playoffs. And interestingly enough, Kevin Adams, during a season ticket holders event on Wednesday night, according to the Sabres website, told everybody that yes, he should have made a trade or called up a few people from Rochester. It's only something that you and I have been discussing for months.
He did say that in Tampa or in Sunrise when we did the trade deadline interview, that maybe he should have made a move, but he certainly was not as definitive on it as he was at the season ticket event. And it goes back to what I said. Yeah, you don't necessarily even need to make a big trade. Call up a couple guys from Rochester. And the biggest thing I would have done, send a message to your locker room. After Terry Pegula came and visited the team in Montreal, they got blown out the next night. Nicholas Aubé-Kubel committed a turnover. They gave away a goal in the first 20 seconds of the game. I would have put Aubé-Kubel on waivers the next day. And they did it eventually anyway. But I would have sent a message to that room with one of the veteran players. This isn't good enough. And to me, that was Adam's real failure. Aubé-Kubel should have been on waivers the next day as a message to everybody.
With Lindy Ruff clearly planning to come back next season, Mike, there have to be changes to that coaching staff, right? There has to be. You cannot bring back everybody and sell the fans on on progress or on any hope of this turning around. Or, you know, for the matter of fact, like, you have to fix that 13-game winless streak. As much as if you take it away, they're a playoff team. It still happened, and you have to work. You have to work to improve the areas of this team that need to be improved. Whether it's the power play, the team defense, the goaltending is a big one, and there's got to be changes to that coaching staff. They have to give Lindy Ruff autonomy to hire assistant coaches and build a staff with more experience to make sure that this team is better positioned to accomplish what it's setting out to do.
And it's a hardworking group. We're not saying it's not.
Yeah.
But Marty Wilford, the defenseman, wanted him back this year. probably time for him to go. Owen Power hasn't developed like we thought. Samuelson's regressed. Mike Bales, the goalie coach, has a couple Stanley Cups. Probably time for him to go. The goaltending hasn't been good enough. He's had, you know, he never got through really to Levi much. He hasn't gotten through to Lukanen this year. Seth Appert was running the power play. I think he stays, but maybe in a different position. Matt Ellis is clearly here with his relationship with Kevin Adams. I think there needs to be a sweep. I would basically sweep the whole coaching staff with the exception of Seth Appert, and I would bring in a more experienced guy to take the power play away from him and run the power play, because special teams really held this team back this year.
It's a business, and Mike Bales has been here for three head coaches. It's been time, right?
It's
a results-driven business, and if you're not getting it done as a team, you went ahead and you traded a player like Dylan Cousins. You can certainly go ahead and bring in different assistant coaches, but overall, I understand where Lindy Ruff is coming from and telling reporters after that game Tuesday night, there is progress. Look at how we're playing. If you look at the last 40 games, this is much more conducive to actually winning. And of course, there's going to be changes to the roster this summer. It's going to be interesting. And Mike, that's a good segue to our second topic.
Don't wait months for new windows on your home. Express Windows can have them installed in just weeks with high-quality double-hung windows starting at only $359. Call Express Windows for a free at-home estimate or stop by our showroom on Delaware Avenue in Tonawanda.
And one of those changes, or at least one of the significant storylines that we're going to be talking about here in the months to come, is goaltending. What are they going to do about Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen? As we sit here on Thursday afternoon, James Reimer is slated to start yet again. What is that? I think it's 4 out of 5 games. They're
three
turning to the 37. Yeah, three in a row. The 37-year-old backup goalie on a 1-year contract rather than the guy that they gave a 4-year contract to over the summer.
But Lindy says they're not sending any messages here. There's no messages being sent. You know, yeah, there's messages being sent. They're playing Reimer because Reimer's playing well, but they're playing Reimer because Luukkonen isn't playing well. Lukanen's goals against since the Four Nations break is 3.60, and the save percentage is under 870. It's not good enough. It's just not even close to good enough. And, you know, I've said all along, one of the problems this season has been Luukkonen. You know, you look at those two comebacks that Colorado pulled off. One of the reasons Colorado pulled off those comebacks against the Sabres was because Luukkonen couldn't make a save in the third period of either game. That's just the bottom line. He couldn't make a save in the third period of either game. Like, I think he gave up 4 goals in both third periods. I don't think they're going to cut bait with Luukkonen unless they're really offered some deal that we don't expect. But could they really go into next season with Luukkonen and Levi? I don't think so. But Levi wants to play too. How good does Levi play in the postseason? It's fascinating to me to watch what's going to happen in Rochester here in the playoffs. How well does Levi play? How long can he drag the Amerks through the battle, through the Calder Cup playoffs? And then what do they do? Because I don't know. I mean, this is a real problem. They've paid Luukkonen. They signed him to a long-term deal. He was their number one guy, and it hasn't worked out this year, and it's a problem holding back your team. And not only that, you know how Lindy Ruff loves to have goaltenders. He lived here with Dominic Hasek and Ryan Miller for 17 years. It's got to be killing him watching some of the goals going in the net this year.
Their team defense is worse than it was in the second half of last season when we saw Luukkonen at his best. I think that is an important factor to consider here. He looked a lot more settled in his game when the chances that he was facing were more predictable, for a lack of a better way of putting it. And Mike, it is much easier to solve your own problems than to go out and make a trade or a free agent signing, especially when you are where this team is at. Right? There's no free agent goalies on the market this summer. Who are you going to trade for?
The answer's got to be get 3 new defensemen in here.
And that's what you have.
The answer has to be.
And a new goalie coach if we're going down that road.
Right.
I mean, and there is risk involved that, yeah, Luukkonen can come back and we could see the same problems. But again, with where they are at, who are you going to bring in?
It's a lot easier to find defensemen, and we know they're going to go out and get some defensemen in here. And I don't think there's any question they have to go out, unfortunately, for Mike Bales and get a new goalie coach and see how much that impacts Luukkonen. I don't think you can cut bait with Luukkonen yet. You just have to chalk it up to this isn't a great season. Last year was a pretty good season. We need to get better from him. He needs to be in better shape coming into next season. better coaching, better defense, the entire package around Luukkonen, and including Luukkonen, needs to be better.
To his credit, he stayed healthy. Injuries were the problem with Luukkonen a few years ago, so he attacked offseason training differently, and he's been able to carry that workload. It's just the consistency and the performances hasn't been there. He'll make a few good, you know, big saves early in games, but he just can't sustain it throughout. Some of that's chances again. Some of that is you got to make a save. You're the top goalies in this league. They bail their teammates out in games like this. And, you know, some of his worst performances have come at the wrong time. And as much as James Reimer has exceeded expectations in his role, the Sabres need to go out this summer and try to upgrade that number two spot if they're going to put Devin Levi back in Rochester. You're going to need somebody to play a little bit more. I'm not convinced that you should be playing Luukkonen as often based on what we saw this year. They need to set him up for success, whether that's fewer starts in a given week, improving your team defense, a new set of eyes as a goalie coach. There needs to be a plan in place here to try to make it work with him. And if once you make those changes and you allocate resources, which is a lot easier to do than making a trade or a free agent signing, then you can make a bigger decision. And hey, at that point, Devin Levi should be NHL ready. I'm not ready to bring him up just yet. Again, like you mentioned, a long playoff run with the Amerks may change my opinion, may change the team's opinion. We'll see. It's still a little too early to award the Amerks the Calder Cup, but he's on the right track. You don't want to rush him. And now it's just all about insulating Luukkonen and really just, you know, but it's got to be gut check time for him too. He's got to do a better job handling some of these games where it's a little bit more chaotic and the team in front of him is not playing as well. Because you're going to have that throughout the season, right, Mike? I mean, even the best teams in the league are having those nights where they're giving up a lot of chances and their goalie still bails them out.
It was funny to hear the number of comments on Twitter about, they only won the game because of Reimer. Well, in Winnipeg. Yeah, that's the idea. Sometimes you win the game because of the goalie. It's almost like we forgot what that looked like. One other note on Luukkonen, one other point. The schedule next year is going to be even tighter than this year because the Olympic break is going to be longer than the Four Nations break. There's going to be more 3-4s, more back-to-backs. And if he's not doing well on short rest, you're right. You're going to need more of a veteran here as a number two to get Luukkonen limited to maybe 45 games. So the schedule next year in an Olympic year is another factor in this whole Luukkonen discussion.
On to the next topic. Another player who's entering this summer with some questions surrounding him. Jack Quinn. You were on the road when Lindy Ruff came out in Minnesota and said that Jack Quinn was scratched because he said he missed a team meeting. I spoke to Jack Quinn this morning. He didn't miss it. He showed up late.
Same difference with Lindy Ruff. If you're late,
exactly. If you're late, you didn't show.
Remember, I asked Lindy Ruff about this, and he had not scored a goal in 13 games. He had one goal in 21. I asked Lindy Ruff postgame very simply, "You scratched Jack. I assume it was just time." And Lindy Ruff gave it up, said it was nothing to do with the fact he hasn't been scoring goals. He missed the morning meeting. That's pretty interesting. Yeah.
This happens across the league. Every season, guys oversleep. They're phoned in charge. It happens.
AM, PM.
It rarely comes out. And Lindy Ruff wanted people to know that because we heard accountability throughout this season. Some of it's been, you know, questionable in terms of it actually being put into action. But he wanted people to know that, no, he played because he missed a meeting. I'm not putting up with that. And Quinn said, obviously, the coach is right. Like, you can't be late to a meeting. He apologized to his teammates. And above just one mistake, Mike, this season is not gone as Jack Quinn had envisioned. He said in a lot of ways the league has humbled him this year. He thought that he was going to come in and pick up where he left off late last season. But in hindsight, he wasn't able to train last summer, even though he played the final 10 games of last season. He was given limitations in terms of what he could do training wise, and he didn't think it would impact him. But once the season started, the schedule kicks in and you got travel, it became pretty noticeable to him. Like, his skating stride wasn't as quick as it had been pre.
Speed is way down.
Doesn't
look like the same player. Doesn't have the acceleration, doesn't have the speed on the wing. And I think it's going to be very important, obviously, for him in this offseason to be able to train properly again now and to come back as a different kind of player come training camp. But you're right. I mean, it just doesn't look like the same guy. And he had performed pretty well when he came back after that ankle injury last year in San Jose. Just not the season. They thought he'd be a 30-goal potential guy. You look forward, and when Kevin Adams said, well, we have to save our money to be paying Quinn and Paterka and Levi. Well, you're not paying Levi. Maybe you got to pay Paterka some. What are you giving Jack Quinn in this offseason? His qualifying offer, pretty much, right? So
yeah,
they don't have to worry about that. So Jack Quinn now has to go back and earn his money because he just had a, you know, an off, very off season and a very bad time for both him and his team.
He's going to have to earn a roster spot too.
Sure.
We don't know what's going to happen in terms of the general manager, where the direction of this roster is going to come, but you've got guys in Rochester who are going to be pushing for the NHL in the fall. Isak Rosén is one of them. We don't know who else they're going to bring in this summer, but you know, hypothetically, if there is a new general manager here, Mike, Jack Quinn was Kevin Adams' draft pick. Lindy Ruff doesn't have any sort of attachment to the player.
None. And that's the thing, as we've said before, they need more adults in the room. There's no reason to think Jack Quinn couldn't get traded this summer. There's certainly teams would be interested. A young player with, you know, if he can become the guy he was a couple of years ago. But, yeah, his very roster spot, I would say right now, is in jeopardy with this organization. And I think he probably knows that, too. I mean, wouldn't Kyle Dubas want a guy like Jack Quinn to add some speed and youth to the Pittsburgh Penguins roster, just for example? He wouldn't be the only general manager at least interested in talking to Kevin Adams or whoever the GM is about Jack Quinn.
The game Tuesday was a snapshot, I would say, of what Quinn can bring. He was on a line with Ryan McLeod and J.J. Paterka, and when you're skating with those two players, you got to be able to keep up. Quinn was able to. He played with speed. He looked like he did last season, was making plays. You know, the great pass on Paterka's goal that was overturned because of the offside. He scored a goal himself. That they need to see more of that Jack Quinn over these final dozen games. And he needs to have it's a big summer for not only him, a lot of guys, but with where he's at in his career, it's time. You know, some of it's injury, bad luck, but with this, where this franchise is at and the urgency to finally get this right, you know, clock's ticking.
So what did Lindy Ruff bring up when I was in Vancouver? What did he say? He just threw it out there for public consumption. Conditioning, conditioning, conditioning. This team, clearly, in the coach's mind, had an off-season conditioning problem that I think they're going to take care of this off-season, and maybe there'll be personnel changes in that area as well.
Yep, they're going to need to get these younger guys. They're going to need to speed this up a little bit, you know, and you got to win puck battles in this league. You got to be able to do more than what they have been. You know, he mentioned on Thursday morning even that he's like Zach Benson's game throughout the season, but there's been times where it's dipped because of what he mentioned, kind of fatigue, kind of conditioning situation, where it's a young player who's trying to meet the demands of the NHL, and you got to prepare them to do that, right? Some of it is you can't speed up physical maturation, but there's another layer to it that can be controlled, and clearly there's some frustration in Lindy Ruff's end of this that it hasn't been as dialed in as it needs to be. Last topic, Mike, the Sabres are going into Washington on Sunday. not an easy place to play, and that building is going to be buzzing because Alex Ovechkin, as we speak right now, 5 goals away from tying Gretzky, 6 from beating the record. Unlikely he ties or breaks it against the Sabres. He's going to need to have quite a monster performance between now and then. But wow, it's hard to believe. I mean, a couple of years ago when the Capitals were on the downswing and it looked like they were heading toward a rebuild, everyone was wondering if this was ever going to happen. Well, it is very much a reality, and it's come at a really great time for the game. You know, you had the Four Nations going on, and now you have the chase with Ovechkin right as the playoffs are coming up.
Ovechkin has 41 goals against the Sabres in his career, 66 games. He has 68 points in 66 games against the Sabres. It's a record you never thought anybody would break. You never thought anybody would catch Gretzky. Gretzky's supposed to start traveling with Gary Bettman and with Nicholas Backstrom, Ovechkin's old center, when he gets within 4 or 5. So, you know, the game, based on what happens when the Capitals played Minnesota on Thursday night, the game against the Sabres could be the first game that the entourage is following Ovechkin around here, trying to see if this record gets broken. And we remember what that was like in Buffalo in 1982 when Gretzky broke Phil Esposito's single-season record. I was in the building that night when he scored number 77 to break the record, and Esposito had been following him around. They paraded Esposito on the ice as soon as the goal was scored in the last 7 minutes of the third period, and Gretzky went on to get 78 and 79 that night in a hat trick. So it's the same kind of scenario now where they're going to follow the scorer around. Gretzky had been followed by Esposito for a few games waiting for 77. And Ovechkin is in a situation now where, you know, you get the sense he's a little tighter and the other teams are a little tighter. No one wants to be on the wrong side of that record. No one wants to be in the net and be the defenseman to get beat or lose a puck to Ovechkin for that record. Somebody's going to be. But it's going to be a great moment for the game. I do almost hope he does do it this season. Let's say he ends up one or two shy, and then we have to wait until October and start next season. And you don't have the momentum of the season in October going on like you do right now in March and into April. So hopefully Ovechkin can get that taken care of. And the bigger issue here, Lance, is how the Washington Capitals transformed themselves in the offseason to a team that barely made the playoffs, had a minus 39 goal differential, to a team challenging for the President's Trophy, certainly a Stanley Cup contender. Ovechkin's only won one cup in his career in 2018. In fact, that's the only time Ovechkin's made the cup final is 2018. So, you know, I think back, I've made this comment about the Bills a few times. The Bills need to have their 2018 Capitals season, the one season where they figure it out and get over the hump. Ovechkin and his cohorts figured it out in 2018 when they beat the Vegas Golden Knights. And here we are again. I don't buy into the Capitals long-term in these playoffs, but the standings say I should. I think Ovechkin's age is a factor. I think there's a lot of older players. They have a nice mix. I don't know if the goaltending will hold up. I've been waiting for the Capitals to dip all year, and they haven't dipped yet. They're a 100-plus point team fighting Winnipeg for the President's Trophy. So right now I've been wrong. And on top of the entire Ovechkin goal chase, which we thought was going to be their whole season, they could win a Stanley Cup.
They very well could. I think that they're going to go deep into the playoffs. Their decor is very good. Their goaltending is held up. As long as they stay healthy, Mike, I think they have all the pieces that you need. And the Panthers with Marchand, he's just skated on Thursday morning, so that's a development there. Kachuk will be coming back, but Ekblad's going to be coming off a suspension. Seth Jones hasn't been as strong. So I think it's sort of wide open right now, just given where the other teams are and how they perform. So that makes this even better. The Capitals are very good while Ovechkin is chasing this. And a couple of years ago, that was all the talk. Well, the Capitals are going to stink while he's going for it. So who's going to care? Well, they turned it around quick, and it was through some big trades, development with Hershey. And, you know, sometimes you just got to have some luck along the way and have guys stay healthy. And that includes Ovechkin himself.
It's a tough ask for the Sabres on a back-to-back to be in the middle of the Ovechkin chase. And you know what, Lance? We go back to our earlier topic. Who's playing goal Sunday in Washington?
Yeah.
They're going to split the weekend, Philly and Washington. Who's playing goal? Is it going to run UPL in there? Is he going to run the veteran Reimer out there? That's an interesting decision also coming up in the goaltending department for Buffalo.
Another topic, or a little quick, I guess, news item before we wrap up here. John Tortorella won't be behind the bench for the Philadelphia Flyers on Saturday when the Sabres are there, because Tortorella got fired on Thursday morning. Brad Shaw, longtime assistant, one of the great defense coaches in the NHL, is taking over as interim coach. Now Lindy Ruff is the oldest coach in the NHL. Torts, we'll see if he lands anywhere this summer. Mike, I have a hard time believing that John Tortorella's coach his last game. Someone's going to hire the guy, whether it's this summer or sometime next season. You know,
the Nashville Predators would be a good target for me. I think one of the problems in Philly, too many young players. Nashville's got an older roster, a lot of standout players. I think that might be a fit, because I don't know Andrew Brunetti's going to be a fit there anymore. That would be an interesting one. Does John Tortorella end up as an assistant somewhere? You know, I don't think he's going to walk away yet, but he kind of walked away in the Flyers. They were 1-10-1. When they got whacked in Toronto the other night, he made that comment about, I don't really want to be coaching this kind of team with this kind of – and I think Danny Briere said, whoa, wait a second, we better pivot here. Let's just get him out of here now, because there's some negative impact there. You look at the guys who got traded to Calgary, Farabee and Morgan Frost, both kind of gave some anti-Torts sentiment to the media out in Calgary when they got out there. And it's a tough time to survive under that guy, and his shelf life tends to expire. But I did think he was going to make it to the end of the year, but he kind of torpedoed himself.
Yeah, they didn't like that he benched Cam York during the game the other night either.
Yeah.
But
played with 5D.
Yeah, that's torts, though. Yeah.
That's what he does.
Briere didn't hire him, so I understand at some point that he was going to want to make a change. And I think I couldn't agree with you more. Nashville would make a ton of sense. It's a short shelf life with torts. He wears on people. He wore on guys in Philly. Yeah. When you have an older team in Nashville, it's a little bit easier. And hey, maybe Lindy brings him to Buffalo as an assistant. Wouldn't that be a great entertainment?
That'd be quite interesting. And don't forget, he was an assistant here. Full circle, he was an assistant here 30 years ago under John Muckler.
All right. He's Mike Harrington. I'm Lance Isowski. We still have got, including tonight, a dozen games. So we'll be there with you every step of the way, including the offseason. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you guys next time.
Express Windows is a best of 716 favorite for window and door installation. They also offer discounts for military personnel and seniors. Learn more at expresswindowsinc.com. Express Windows. Fast, easy, affordable.